got pushed over. Come on in, come on in. What are you guys talking about over there?
Marilyn Hickey was, wait, right here?
Yeah.
I'll show the story right
here. Oh! Oh! Come on in, everybody. Take a seat, take a seat. Hello, hello. What'd you say?
We got all the young people come.
With all teens. Oh. Wow, someone doesn't read my text. Come on in, everybody. Take a seat. Let's see. It is 3:30 in the afternoon. Is anyone feeling a little tired? A little bit. Did anyone do the paint thing? The art? Someone get hit with paint. She was a victim, everybody. She got sprayed with paint, you guys. Everyone say, aw. I know. Victim of art. What can you do? Came out. All right, buddy. Come on in. Come on in. My name is Reverend Beth, for those of you who don't know me, but I feel like I know almost all of you. While we're waiting, any questions for me? You want to know my favorite color, my favorite ice cream? Come on, tell me. Oh, coffee ice cream. Bam! Coffee anything. That's my favorite. Any other questions while we're waiting? Huh? Favorite animal? Oh, the goat. You guys, goats, baby goats, who's seen a baby goat? Come on, those are cute, you guys. Those are the overlooked animals. Okay, that's my favorite. Any other questions? Favorite movie? Made in Manhattan with Jennifer Lopez. It's like my life story, you know. Favorite TV show? Oh, it could be Boy Meets World, now Girl Meets World. You know what I'm saying? Any Girl Meets World fans out there? Hey! Right? It's super good. I cry every episode. You know what I'm saying? Like, I learn every episode in Girl Meets World. I love it. Last question. What was that? Favorite book besides the Bible? Chronicles of Narnia, the first one, right? What's the first book called again? The Magician's Nephew. Bam! That's a good book. You guys should read Chronicles of Narnia. As people are coming in, we'll go ahead and get started. Okay, real quick. Not all of you know each other. You have 15 seconds to say your name and the highlight of your week, okay, to the people at your table. Ready, steady, and go. I want to see talking. Name and favorite. Oh, wait, what was my question? And highlight of your week. And today? All right. All right, 10 more seconds. If someone's talking, just cut them off. It's okay. We're in church. We'll forgive. All right. Let me ask a question. Is today anyone's highlight of their week? Woo! Okay, I hear you. Okay, so we only got a couple minutes, but we got something fun. I'm going to talk for a little bit. We got some people who are going to come up. We're going to do a panel. Y'all can ask questions. If they're not too crazy, it'll be good. But what I want to talk about today, is everyone in high school in here? Anyone out of high school? Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah. I see freshmen in college. I see y'all. Okay. We'll pray for you. What I want to talk about today is, here's the thing. Like, there's no boys around. Is there any boys in here? If there is, y'all need to leave. Wait, I thought I saw 16. Okay, there's no boys in here. Someone say hallelujah, okay? Listen, we can be ourselves right now. Listen, we can be real. We can like, let our hair, everybody lay your hair down. Even if it's in a bun, just everyone go like this. We're laying our hair down, okay? We're going to be real today in this moment. But What I want to talk about is here, you guys are here. Who was inspired today? Anybody inspired? Anyone got a little bit more passion coming in? And here's the thing, is we're passionate right now. We're pumped. We're excited. We're ready to go. And then we go like to school on Monday and it's like, you know, like where'd the passion go? You know, you go to church tomorrow and like worship comes and you're like, I ain't going up there. You know, and so I want to talk about the fire extinguishers in our life. Who has ever had the blessed opportunity to use a fire extinguisher? Anyone? Oh, y'all need to be a little more radical, okay? Listen, a fire extinguisher is the best feeling in the whole world. You feel so powerful. You got this thing and you are blowing and it's just taking everything out in its path. It extinguishes the fire. And so here we are. We're getting so pumped. We're getting so excited. But there's things in our life that could easily put out that fire on the inside of you. And I know for me, I don't want that. I know for you, you're not looking to have the fire you just got go out so quickly. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about that. And the first one that I want to talk about comes from the story of the life of Peter, okay? Does anyone have a Bible? If you actually have a real Bible, raise it up. If you have a phone, Bible on your phone, raise it up. Does anyone love their Bible? Let me hear you scream. Come on. Come on. I love my Bible. So turn to Mark 14. And don't be pretending you're turning, okay? Jesus knows you're not turning. Turn to Mark 14. This is a story by the name of a man by the name of Peter, okay? Listen, Peter was like besties with Jesus. Think of your bestie right now, okay? Maybe you have a couple. You think of your bestie. Peter was a bestie of Jesus. He was spending time with Jesus. Listen. When Jesus was doing these crazy miracles that we hear about in the Bible, Jesus was like, Peter was like right there, okay? When Peter was walking with Jesus, he saw him do miracles. He saw him help people. He was there with them having breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Can you agree he was a bestie? Yes, you guys be interactive. Yes, amen. He was a bestie. He understood Jesus. He had this fire on the inside of him. But yet we see Peter make some really bad decisions when it comes to following Jesus. Well, in Mark 14, we're going to pick it up, and let me explain to you what just happened. You see, Jesus was with Peter as well as a lot of other people. If you're newer to this whole Jesus following and Christian and everything like that, we call these people the disciples. He was with the disciples. He was having dinner with them. And Jesus is like, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you a spoiler, everybody. I'm going to go to a cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise again. It's going to be crazy. I'm going to forgive the world of their sins. And he's explaining all this to him. And Peter says, no, Jesus. I'm not going to let that happen. And Jesus says, man, Peter, you know, just very soon and in just a few hours, I'm going to be arrested and you're actually going to deny me 3 times. And Peter just can't believe these words. He's saying, no, I would never do that. Who's ever said that? And when it comes to following Jesus, like, I would never do that. I would never say that about, you know what I'm saying? And then you go and do it. Right? Okay. We're all guilty. And so here we pick it up in Mark 14. Jesus was just arrested. He was brought before all these haters, and they're coming against him. This council's coming against him. And in Mark 14, we see what happens to Peter. Mark 14, verse 66. It says, meanwhile, Peter was in the courtyard below. One of the servant girls who worked for the high priest came by, and he noticed Peter warming himself by the fire. She looked at him closely and said, you are with those of Jesus. But Peter denied it. Someone say, oh, snap. Oh, no, he didn't. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said he went into the entryway, and then just then a rooster crowed. When the servant girl saw him standing there again, she said to the others, this man is definitely one of them. But Peter denied him again. Everyone say, oh, no, he didn't. All right, there's one more coming. He said, a little later, one of the bystanders said, you must be one of them because you're a Galilean. And finally, Peter said yet again, I don't know what you're talking about. He denied him 3 times. You see, fire extinguisher number one. Something that could possibly take out the fire that is within you right now. What we see with Peter is he cared too much about what others thought rather than what God thought. Can I be real with you right now? A huge extinguisher in my life is that I often care far too much what other people think about me than what God thinks about me. You know, we are living in the craziest times where it's like our hobby to look at what other people are doing. You know what I mean? Like, that is what we do on our spare time, is look at what other people are doing. We're constantly comparing. Man, I be having a dinner. I love me some Chick-fil-A, and I'm eating my Chick-fil-A. I'm having, it is good, right? Then I look on Instagram, someone having like a steak, and I'm like, this is disgusting. Why would I even eat this? You know, and we are comparing, and we're thinking about what other people are saying about us, what other people are thinking about us, and that can weigh on us. You walk into school, and guess what? People are constantly checking you out. What is she wearing? Who is she hanging out with? What is she doing on her spare time? And that, for us to pretend we don't care what people think about is foolish, because we do care. But what we have to do is we have to raise what we think God thinks about us above what others think about us. Because it's always going to be there. And here's the newsflash for you. Following God, not everyone's going to understand it. And can I just tell you, that's okay? Not everyone's going to understand this passion on the inside of you. Not everyone's going to congratulate you that you are so pumped and you are so excited to follow Jesus. Not everyone is going to get it when you say, no, I don't want to go to that party on Friday night. Not everyone's going to get it that you want to go to church 2-3 times a week. Oh my goodness. Not everyone's going to get it that you like to go to Bible club or bring your Bible to school. Not everyone's going to get that. But if we can be okay with them not being okay with us, it's going to help us follow Jesus. You know, I am 27 years old. I know, I'm ancient. I know. Some of y'all I blew your mind. I am 27 years old, and yet I still care about what people think about me. I do. But I don't care more about what they think about me than what God thinks about me. You see, I do care, but I care more. And can I just be 100% honest with you? You know, I have unsaved friends, and guess what? We go out to dinner, and we hang out, and at the dinner table, when we go out to a restaurant, I don't drink. They may drink, and that person may drink, and you know what I say? I'll take ice water on the rocks with a lemon. Okay, I'm feeling crazy, you know? And guess what? There's a part of me that I want to be accepted by them. There is a part of me, but it's not greater than my acceptance by God. You know, they say, Beth, listen, my birthday party, we go into this club, we go into this bar. Are you going to meet us there? I say, I can't. I don't really go there. I'll go out to lunch with you another time. You know, we'll go to McDonald's. I don't know what you want to do, but I can't go to the bar. That's not what I do. That's not who I am. But there's a part of me that so wants to still be accepted. There's a part of me that still so wants 1,000 likes. There's a part of me that still wants 1,000 followers, but not more than I want to follow Jesus. Is that making sense today? So I want to read to you some more scripture here. If this is something that you deal with, can you write down this verse? It just might set you free. It's Isaiah 40, verse 7. I'll read to you. It says, the grass withers, the flower fades beneath the breath of the Lord, and so is it with people. You see what that verse is saying is that, how many of you guys have known that spring comes, right, and the grass is green, the flowers are beautiful, and then summertime comes, and that grass, it withers, y'all. We got some yellow grass out there, okay? It withers, and it's gone. God is saying, just like the grass can wither away, people are like that. What people say about you, what people think about you, man, it withers. It doesn't last. But yet we work so hard to grab that acceptance that withers away so fast. You catching what I'm saying? But then listen, it says this, so the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. Don't miss this. God is making a deep comparison. He's saying the acceptance of people, which withers and it fades, in comparison to the acceptance of God, which is everlasting, which is something deeper than any other person could give you. But yet we work so hard. We spend so many hours thinking about. We spend so many hours changing ourselves to grasp the acceptance of others. But it withers. Everybody say it withers. It withers. You know, you may get acceptance from somebody one week, and you know the next week, forget it. They don't like you anyways, right? They may be liking you on Instagram one week, and the next week they blocked you. Can I get amen? And we work so hard for this, and we change ourselves, and we don't let our true selves show. You know, another verse is Romans 12:2. You might know this if you've been in church. It says, do not be conformed to this world. Y'all can quote it with me if you know it. I said, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. Do you know what conformity means? Conformity looks like this. You know what? Nobody else is reading their Bible, so I won't either. Nobody else is going up for worship. They're kind of standing in the back like they don't care, so I won't either. Everybody else is going to that party that I know I shouldn't be going to, so I'll just go too. That's what conformity looks like. But the Bible says don't be conformed, be transformed. Can I just tell y'all one thing real quick? We do not need any more fake people up in this world. You know what I'm saying? We don't. We need genuine. Point at yourself. Say, I'm genuine. Unless your name is really genuine, then you just, man, that was a God moment for you, okay? You're different. You see, conformity steals your true identity. Conformity changes who you really are. Conformity steals the passion of God that you have. And we don't need no more fakeness. Listen, people got fake Instagram. I just read an article that China is serving fake food made out of plastic. We got fake everything. We got fake people walking around with fake pieces on their body, okay? We got fake. We don't need no more. We need real people with real dreams, with real personalities, with real flaws. Amen. Is it okay to have flaws up in here? Is it okay? It's all good. We need real. You see, when we begin to care too much about what other people think, it begins to extinguish the fire on the inside of us. You know, Jesus, he was very different. He was so different. Jesus was a trailblazer. He was a pioneer. He was different from society. I said, I'm just going to read through the book of Mark, like real quick, as fast as I can. I read really slow, but it was as fast as I could. I was just reading through it. I was trying to get the big scope of things. You know, I was reading the Bible. I'm not even playing with you. I actually started laughing. I just started laughing because Jesus was thug, y'all. Like, Jesus did not care what anyone said. Jesus did not care what anyone did. Like, he went against society. I was laughing so hard. I was like, this guy is crazy. You know, Jesus was crazy. He is so crazy. He was just making me laugh. Just the things he did. Like, okay, for instance, he was talking to all these people, be like having a big old party or something. And Jesus, he didn't want to go to the store to get more food. You know what he did? He just did a miracle. He's like, nah, you don't need to go to the store. We'll just multiply this food here. Like, how many of y'all have been ever on your last chip in the bag? You know what I'm saying? You're like, God, if it's your will, multiply this, you know? Like, that was Jesus. He's like, I don't want no more bag chips. Just multiply it. Jesus was hilarious. Jesus did crazy things like, okay, you know your group of friends? You always got, like, one Debbie Downer. I got one. It's okay. You got that one Debbie Downer, like, she'll be, you know, you guys are all having fun, and she'll be saying something all sad, and you're like, oh, and it just, like, brings down the moment. Okay, Jesus, he, like, would openly predict his own death. They'd be, like, hanging out. Hey, what's up, Peter? How's it going? And Jesus is like, you know, I'm going to die soon. But I don't want to bring down the, you know, I'm good. I'm just going to die soon. Like, he would openly predict his death. Jesus was wild. Jesus hung out with all the rejects. Everybody that the society said do not hang out with, Jesus went to their house. Jesus went and ate with them. Jesus invited them over. Jesus was different. But I want to read to you from Mark. Just listen to this. These moments when Jesus was different, but it cost him. In Mark 3:6, this was after Jesus forgave the sins of a paralyzed man. It says, but some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. He's not God. They began to speak things against Jesus. In Mark 2:16, after Jesus invited a tax collector, who was a very bad man in that time, over to dinner, they said, but the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and the sinners, and they asked the disciples, why does he eat with such scum? I want you to think about somebody at school right now, that if you were to invite them to your lunch table, people would be like, oh. Oh, no, she didn't. You see, Jesus invited that person over. In Mark 3:6, it says, after healing a man on the Sabbath in front of his haters, it says that at once the Pharisees went away and met with supporters to plot how to kill him. It says in Mark 22, but the teachers of the religious law who had arrived from Jerusalem said he must be possessed by Satan. Listen, people have talked about me behind my back, but ain't nobody said I was possessed by Satan. Like, that's straight up rude. You know what I'm saying? They said that he was possessed by Satan. And ultimately, Jesus being different cost him everything. And he went to the cross for it. So if you're in this place and you have that fire on the inside of you and you're kind of thinking about Monday, you're thinking about Sunday, you're thinking about, man, what changes am I going to make in my life? Or is everyone going to understand me? Is the girls that I hang out with at school, are they going to get it? Is the team that I'm on, are they going to get it? The reality is that they might not yet, but one day they will. But we have to elevate what we see, we have to elevate how Jesus sees us and kind of let go of how other people see us. Does that make sense? So real quick, before we run out of time, I want to invite up my panel. We got Akia, we got Kim, we got Gabby. Come on up, come on up. And we are going to talk about a couple things real quick. I got some questions before you, but before we do that, can we just practice something, all right? I like to practice things. Practice makes perfect, right? We're going to practice saying, you know what? I don't care. So I want you to imagine, all right, your friends coming up to you and they say, man, why do you go up for worship on Wednesday nights when nobody else says, why do you go up for worship on Sunday mornings when, you know, I don't even like that band or it's not cool? And what do you say? You say, I don't care, right? Yeah, I want to practice with you. Man, someone asking you, hey, why don't you come to that party on Friday night? It's going to be awesome. My mom ain't going to be home. My daddy ain't going to be home. You know it's going to get crazy, okay? And you say, I can't go. And they begin to say things to you. You say, what do you say? No, I need a little attitude because I know y'all have attitude you'd be giving your parents. I want to see that right here. Right, let me see a little bit ahead. Okay, 1, 2, 3. No, a little bit louder. Okay, so when someone says to you, I want you to come to this party with me, and if you don't come, you're a loser, what do you say? No, a little bit louder. When somebody says, hey, you don't want to smoke this free drugs that we got from somebody. I don't know where it came from. It could kill you. Who knows? But you don't want to smoke it with us? Man, you must be a loser. Let me hear it. Man, you're going to go for worship. You know cool people don't go for worship. Let me hear it. You see, we have to not care so much about what other people think, but we have to care about what God thinks. Right, and so we have our panel up here. I got a couple questions for you. Like I said, we are going to be real with these questions. Number one, have you ever struggled with caring too much about what other people think in relation to following Jesus or anything else? And if so, how do you deal with it? Anyone? Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Akia?
Oh, sorry. Got a little choked up there. Yeah, I would say high school was probably one of the biggest times where there's so many different things being thrown at you, so many things that you see on Instagram or on Twitter or whatever, and it's the desire to keep up, the desire to impress other people. And I know specifically I joined like the cheerleading team or whatever, and there was constantly like the desire to like, maybe I should just go to that party, or maybe I should just, you know, do whatever it was they were doing. And it was a struggle. Like, let's be real. Like, it's okay that you struggle. You're not like not saved. You're not like not like a follower of Jesus if you have that struggle. It's a very real thing that we deal with. But I think one of the biggest things for me was knowing my boundaries. So knowing like, okay, this is what, there are clear things in the Word of God that says I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to yield to whatever somebody else is doing just because. And you know what? I would watch some of them like get like drunk or whatever, and I'm like, I don't want to look like you look like you don't know what you're doing. Like, it's not fun being out of control of yourself. It's not fun when you can, you know, barely walk in a straight line. Like, these things don't appeal to me anymore. And so I think knowing my boundaries of I'm not going to go there, not allowing people to push them, and just saying, like, no means no, and not, like, allowing the thoughts in my brain to make me question, like, oh, should I, like, maybe I should change my mind. Like, no means no, and being okay with that.
I think for me, it was a little bit different. I think it was like, I had no problem telling people no, like being like, no, I'm not really about that. Thank you. Not going to happen. But I think it was kind of more of a pressure of like, well, if you're a Christian, then like, why don't you do this? Why aren't you a part of the Christian club? Why aren't you doing this or whatever it may be? And it was kind of like they had an expectation of what I should be. But it was at the moment I felt like that's what God was calling me to be. But they would tear at my self-esteem and they would tear at me because it was like, maybe I'm not being who God wants me to be. Maybe, like, what they're saying I should be doing is what I should be doing. Like, but that's not true. Like, even though what they were, like, advising, like, you know, whether it was a Christian club or what speaking, you know, in public, whatever it may be, like, I had to go through my own journey and my own struggles, but I don't need to live to the expectation of man. I need to live to the expectation of God. And so even though sometimes people would be like, well, if you're a Christian, you should do this. You should go on mission trips more. You should do this. And I'm like, I don't need your pressure. Thank you. You know, so it was kind of like being more like solid in my faith and standing firm and be like, I don't need you to pass on what you think I should be doing as a Christian. I'm going to, you know, follow God and follow, you know, press into him, and whatever he has for me is what I'm going to follow, you know? So that was kind of more mine. That's good.
Gabby? Yeah. So I think for me, like Akia said, in high school, the last like few years was when I really struggled with that. But I think that's when it's so important to know like who you are in Christ and who you, you know, who God says that you are. And I think that's why I think that's what's helped me so much is just knowing who you are and not worrying about what other people say or what other people think of you, but the only thing that matters is what God says about you. So I think if you could really, like, understand and learn all about what God says, that those things won't matter so much.
Good. True that, true that. Now, Akia, so we went to coffee the other day. It was delicious. Got a honey latte in case you ever want to bring me coffee. And we were actually talking about this. We were encouraging each other because we found that even among Christians, we find ourselves a little bit different. Have you guys ever experienced that? Like, even among, like, your Christian friends, like, you know, you might be a little bit different. Maybe different people have different standards, or they're calling themselves a Christian, but, well, we don't want to judge them, but you kind of are like, you sure you want to be using that word for yourself? You know, and so do you want to talk about how maybe that feels? Because I know it can feel a little bit weird where it's like you're a Christian, they're a Christian. They're deciding to do things that you're like, if Jesus was watching you, would he be happy with that? And there's a temptation to just fall in, like to conform and be like, well, they said they're a Christian, so maybe I should just do those things too. Or maybe I should just be lame too. I don't know. So do you want to kind of talk about that?
Yeah, so this is something that I still see. I go to, like, a Christian school. So if any of you guys are, like, in private schools or whatever and you're like, these people are crazy, it's okay. Don't feel any pressure. But I know for myself, it's something that I still struggle with is, you know, what are the boundaries, what are. And we sometimes, I think, we come into this, like, church building where, like, everybody's going to be just like us. And it's not. You're still working with so many different personalities, so many different mindsets, and so many different goals. And so something that I've recently been doing was looking to see, because I've been in situations where it's like, well, this person says this is okay and they're Christian, so I don't know if I, you know, agree with that or whatever. But something that I've been doing recently, and Beth was totally encouraging me with this in this past week, is, you know, getting into the Word of God and knowing, like, okay, this is what God says clearly, and then being okay with, like, I'm not going to yield to that even if this person around me says they're saved and they're not, you know. And then also being, like, knowing what's my personal conviction, and knowing that that's personal for me. God, this is where I'm at, and I'm in my lane right now, and God's telling me this is what's okay and this is what's not okay for you. And so knowing that that isn't the same pace for everybody else, I'm not running at the same pace as Kim, and I'm not running at the same pace as Gabby, but knowing that God says for me this is not okay or this is okay, and so that's what I'm going to do, and then not bringing judgment or harshness on somebody who's not where you are, because that's not, they're in their lane. Like, let God take care of them. It's not always our job to convict people or our job to judge where they're at with Jesus. It's just our job to run in our lane. And so that's kind of what I've taken away from it. I'm still learning, so.
Okay, and she said something fun. She said, we come into this church expecting everyone to be like us, and then everyone's different, right? Like, look around. Everyone's different. Like, you don't see yourself. Go and look at the beautiful faces next to you. Aw, aren't they precious? Okay. Okay, so we're all different. And for a world that is so, like, let's all be different, but we all want to be the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, for people that are screaming from the top of the lungs, they want to be so different, but yet they're all trying so hard to be the same. I'm a little bit confused, okay? Like, it's okay to be different. So in this, you know, whether it be school, whether it's just in life with friends, did you ever find yourself like you were different? In what ways were you different? What did that look like? Was it encouraging? Was it discouraging? What are some tips you can give for those of us who are little odd ducks walking around? Gabby, anything you want? Kim?
Yeah, so I think for me, recently, in the last, like, ever since high school, since I got out of high school, I think I stopped hanging out with certain people and just realizing that you guys were going different ways. So maybe, you know, if your friends aren't, well, like Akia said, everyone has different convictions. So I think for me, whether it's going to lunch or going to, you know, whatever it is, just topics of conversation, things that we used to talk about that we can't talk about anymore, that I don't feel comfortable talking about anymore. And, you know, it could be whatever. But I think for me, just sticking to your own convictions and knowing that, you know, you can be friends with people. You can have friends that aren't saved. You can have, that's okay. But you have to make sure that the people you're taking advice from or the people that you're going to or that your closest circle should be people that are going to be lifting you up or people that, you know, godly friends. And that's, godly friends is so important because when you feel like you're weak, they're going to be the ones to, you know, to tell you what you're supposed to be doing or what God says about things.
I know as far as like godly friends and stuff, but I know in high school I was not strong enough in my faith to have not godly friends, you know, where it's like they can easily persuade you. So I'm like, no fool. Like, I'm like, no, I do not need to be like friends with these type of people. And even as an adult, like if there's people who are doing things that I know that they're doing things that are not like with the Word of God, like I'm like, over here by myself, because I feel like I'm at 100 all the time. Like, I feel like I'm like, hi, how are you? Da-da-da-da-da. Like, I want to do so much. Like, I just want to like love on God's people all the time. So it's like, if I'm friends with people who are so passive, it's kind of like, it's frustrating for me. I get really, really frustrated sometimes, and I have to remind myself it's not my job to judge them or to get them excited for things. Like, that's not my place. God has called me to do this. So it's like, it's hard sometimes. So I think as far as like having godly friends, yes, it's important, but I feel like I gravitate towards the people that are like at 1,000 all the time, you know? Like, and if they're not, like, I tend to just pull away. Like, if they're doing things that are ungodly or not like really something that I would want to be doing, I just pull away. I have no problem being by myself. Like, I need to, like, as I get older, I love going to Mount Rubidoux by myself, like just being alone and in the presence of God, because people will drain me, like just hearing like some of the crazy things, like gossips and things, like I can't be around that. So I have to choose my friends very careful. And just because they're, you know, believers, that doesn't really mean that they're on fire for him. Yeah, yeah.
Like in terms of being different, I've always found myself to be very different. In high school, I started following Jesus. I fell away and then I came back. Hallelujah. Can someone say amen for me? Thank you. But, you know, I found myself to be very different. And this is the most interesting thing in the whole world. Listen to this. I can't tell you how many times I heard this. These people that I so wanted to be like, right? I so wanted to be like them. I so wanted to change myself to be like them. I so wanted to hide my passion for Jesus because sometimes it's not cool. And you know what they would tell me, like after getting to know me? They say, Beth, I don't know what it is, but you're different and I want it. And it's so funny because the thing that they wanted, the thing that was so attractive to them, the thing that made them like, oh my gosh, something's different about her, that thing that I was trying to hide was the very thing that they just couldn't get enough of. And that's the same thing on the inside of you, that fire of God on the inside of you that sometimes you get tempted to push down, that sometimes you get tempted to hide, that sometimes you get tempted to like act like Jesus who? You know what I'm saying? That very thing is the thing that's going to bring people to love you more, to want to befriend you, and to ultimately change their life. And so let's get up for our panel real quick. You guys are amazing. I want to bring them back at the end. If I don't talk too much, I'll bring them at the end. So the whole point of today is to talk about protecting the fire on the inside of you. What was number one? To care more about what God thinks than what other people think. Is this helping anyone? Can I hear amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, number two, a fire extinguisher that could put out the fire on the inside of you. This might take some time for me to explain, is missed opportunities. Missed opportunities could extinguish the fire on the inside of you. Let me explain it like this. In Matthew 19, there's this story. It's actually one of my favorite stories to preach about from the Bible. It's this guy by the name of the young rich ruler, okay? Listen, if anyone had it going on, this guy did. He was young, he had money, and he had power. Woo! Okay, he had it going on. This guy had everything he needed. He came into a conversation with Jesus, and he comes to Jesus, and he says, hey, Jesus, how do I get into the kingdom of God? And, you know, I feel like, I don't know, like Jesus was like messing with him a little bit. I don't know. I feel like he was messing with him. He said, it's simple. All you have to do is obey the Ten Commandments. Listen, when I read the Bible, like, I really get into it, okay? As I'm reading the Bible, I could just feel the frustration in this guy's next question. He said, but Jesus, okay, which commandments? Just tell me. Jesus starts naming them off. You know the Ten Commandments from the Old Testament. He starts naming them off. Then the next question this young guy asks, I could just now feel the anger in his, like he's just not getting it. He says, but, okay, hold on, Jesus. Okay, the Ten Commandments. Jesus, I'm doing all that. I'm doing the Ten Commandments. I'm doing everything I should be doing. And listen to this. Then he says, but there's still something I lack. He says, but Jesus, I'm doing everything that people are, I'm going to church, I'm at worship, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. But God, it feels like there's something missing. Has anyone ever been in that place? Can you just raise your hand? I've been in that place. Let me hear. Okay, we got some honest people. You've been in that place, you're doing everything you know to do, but something is still missing. And then Jesus says this. He says, okay, take everything you have, sell it, take the money and give it to the poor. You see, what Jesus was saying, he was saying, you're missing the action part of Christianity. You've been doing all the right things, you've been saying all the right things, but there's a part of you that's missing because you're not really doing anything with your faith. You're just coming to church, you're receiving, but what are you doing with it? We weren't made. We were not designed just to come and sit in a building. And if that's what you've been doing, because I was doing that once, of course you're going to feel like something's missing, because something is. It's now your turn to do something with your faith. It's now your turn to take the opportunities that are in front of you. What are the opportunities? Man, is it to go up to somebody and ask them if they need prayer? Man, you know, you got friends, they be crying in the bathroom, they be doing this, they be looking all sad like they're up all night, you know what I'm saying? And guess what? All you have to say is, hey, what's going on? Can I pray with you? Now, that's a little bit bold, right? That's a little bit crazy. But that's an opportunity. Is it to invite, you know, that kid off that everyone says is a loser and everyone says is annoying, and maybe to ask them to join your lunch table? That's an opportunity. Is it to wake up early and put on some worship music and spend time with God? That's an opportunity. You know, if you're feeling like you're missing something, you're lacking something, if you want to keep the fire going within you, it's going to take you going out and making the most of every opportunity. You see, that's what the rich young ruler, he didn't get it. You know, when you kind of just come to church and you're just like sitting there, and you're just like not really doing anything with your faith, you're not really praying with anyone, you're not really asking people to church, you're not really doing outreach, you're not really, you know, you're just kind of just there. It's kind of like a basketball game and you're kind of just on the sidelines. Like, yeah, you're a Christian, and yeah, like Jesus is your Savior and you're following him, but you're kind of like on the sidelines, you know what I'm saying? You're not like really in the game yet. You see, and that's why you're kind of like, this is a little bit boring for me. I'm just kind of sitting here, because you've been sitting on the sidelines. But man, when you start to get in the game, when you start to do something with your Christian walk, when you start to tell somebody about Jesus, when you start to walk around with your Bible at school and people are saying, hey, I heard you're a Christian. I'm dealing with some suicidal thoughts. Do you think you could talk to me? You see, when you start to do that, there is something so exhilarating. There is something so exciting about your walk with God. I would hate for anyone to think that following Jesus is boring. I remember somebody said that. They said, you know what, when I was a Christian, it was so boring. I was like, really? I think you did it wrong. Like, I don't know. Like, I think you are doing something wrong. Because for me, when I made Jesus my Savior, I can't even tell you what's going to happen next week, because God is like, he's like a roller coaster. He does whatever he wants. I just follow the Holy Spirit. And that's exciting to me. Let's turn to Ephesians 5:14. Definitely one of my favorite verses of all time. I love it. If this could be my life verse, it is. It says, awake, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So be careful how you live, and don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. And listen to this. All right, this is it right here. It says, make the most of every opportunity. Make the most of every opportunity. You want your fire to go out on the inside of you, then ignore the Holy Spirit. You want the fire on the inside of you to go out, then don't tell anyone about the Jesus that saved you. Because it will go out. But I'll tell you what, if you begin to do something with your faith, man, I don't know, maybe instead of posting selfies, start posting Bible verses. Oh, hallelujah, okay. Maybe start telling someone, inviting people to church. Maybe say, hey, I'll take you out to dinner tonight. Do you want to come to church with me? I don't know, maybe it's to go on an outreach on a Saturday. Maybe it's to go on a missions trip with me, hey. Maybe it's to do something. Maybe it's to join the band and the youth group. I don't know. But all I know is if you're sitting on the sidelines, you are missing out. You're missing out. Man, walking with God is an adventure. And if it doesn't feel like that, then you got to start to do something with your faith. Whether that's texting a friend an encouraging message, whether that's praying on the way to school, whether it's doing the right thing in the right moment. When someone's gossiping about somebody you don't even like anyways, you say, you know what? I'm not going to talk about them right now. You see, that's doing something with your faith. And that ignites that fire on the inside of you. It keeps it going. It makes it bigger because you're doing something with your faith. That's huge. That's huge. Haven't you ever seen like people like come and they're so excited about Jesus and then like a month later they're gone? And like, where'd she go? She was so excited. Maybe their eyes are just on them. But it's time to take our eyes off ourselves and begin to look, okay, what can I do? Where's an opportunity in front of me? So I want to bring up my panel one last time. Okay, let's give it up. Come on up, come on up. Okay, I like this first question. Question number one. If you could describe in one word what following Jesus has been like in your life, what would that word be and why? Mine would be, bam! Okay, that's my word. Just to wake everybody up.
So I think I would say wild. Like, that's just Jesus. And sometimes, like, wild things, like, don't make sense. Like, sometimes following Jesus, like, where am I going? What is happening? But it's a faith walk. So just wild.
Well, I was actually going to say adventurous, but yeah. Okay. Both of us then. Yeah, but I think even just, I'm a women's ministry intern now, so I think even just doing that, I didn't know, like, this time last year that I was going to be doing this. So I think it's every, you know, whenever God tells you to do something, it's just having faith and taking that step, whether you think you can do it or not. You know, if God's telling you to do something, then he's going to give you the strength to do it.
I was going to say adventurous, but now thinking about it, it definitely would be unpredictable because my life, the way it has, like, unfolded, has definitely not been something that I would have, like, planned for myself. Definitely doing youth is not something that I had envisioned for my life, but I love it. And so, yeah, unpredictable for sure.
Okay, I heard the session is starting in 1 minute. Is this true, Chantel? So you guys are all going to run. Just kidding. But so remember, real quick before you guys go, fire extinguishers in your life that you have to protect your fire against is caring more about what other people think than God and missing opportunities. Did anybody get something out of this today? Woo! All right, you guys, last session. You guys have a couple minutes. Love you guys. If you guys have any questions, come and see us.